What image forms in your mind when I ask you to think of the arts in Indonesia? Would you think of something like this? Still a bit jazzy, but that's apparently more of your Indonesian indie hipster offering. It's a song called Vakansi by White Shoes and the Couples Company. It's just part of this modern Indonesian art scene, which is much bigger, hipper, and more diverse and more modern than we in Australia will usually imagine or acknowledge. And one of Indonesia's most senior politicians, one of the real heavy hitters here, really wants you to know about it. Her name is Mari Pangestu. She's a landmark figure, really. She's the first female Indonesian to hold a cabinet position in this country. For many years, she was the Minister for Trade. But for about a year and a half now, she's been the Minister for Tourism and Creative Economy. And she's been good enough to battle the traffic and come into the studio and join me now. Ibu Mari, thanks so much for coming in.
Yes, thank you, Walid.
Describe the scene for us, the cultural scene. What would you say are the most thriving aspects of the contemporary arts in Indonesia?
Well, I think it's the film, it's the music, and even the fine arts, yeah, modern installations and so on. I think what we have seen in the last 10 years in Indonesia is really a thriving development in the contemporary creative economy. For film, we are seeing a new genre of film. It used to be horror films only.
Oh, yes.
And love stories, but now we're
Why
seeing...
Why just, were Indonesians just, into horror?
It's just probably in the past it's been very popular.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
it used to be dominated by horror films, but now that's become less and less. And we see more quality films, you know, on heroism, on young people, on true stories. So and we see a new breed of young directors who are able to take some brave themes into the film media. Music, a lot of jazz, hip-hop, reggae, even rap music.
I'm told there's a great rock scene, which I haven't had a chance to see, but I'm desperate to see. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. It's the young people, and as you know, we have Java Jazz, which is now a very international jazz festival. And I've been told that by our visiting performers here, that Indonesian audiences, besides being also good performers, are also a very good audience.
Yes.
Yeah, because they really know their music. Yeah.
Okay, and they're probably very generous from what I've discerned from the local yes, population. Yeah. I imagine that'd be very encouraging as well. But okay, so that's a very wide range of things there. That's very rich terrain. Mm-hmm. Why is it that you think that Australians have so little exposure to contemporary Indonesian culture as opposed to the more traditional folkloric expressions?
I think it's because at the moment, most of this contemporary Indonesian music or musician or arts is still very domestic. We are in the process of wanting to take some of this abroad. And I started maybe 3 or 4 years ago, whenever we have a so-called Indonesian event overseas, we don't just bring the traditional music. We started bringing the more modern Indonesian music. And people will be surprised because they don't expect that from Indonesia. And we've done creative things like combining traditional music with contemporary music. Yeah. For instance, we just did the big tourism fair in Berlin. We combine Berlin orchestra with gamelan orchestra, and it was really great. So our next agenda will be to how to bring Indonesian more contemporary arts abroad.
To make it more popular,
yeah.
Well, I got a tweet from a listener actually while we've been on air who said that Australia needs to do more work. Indonesia may be our close neighbour, but we are millions of miles away culturally. Now, I know you're a politician and so you have things to weigh up, but if you're being brutally honest, is it about the level of interest from Australia? Does Australia need to be doing more to be connecting with contemporary arts in Indonesia? Where does the responsibility fall?
I think it's both ways, you know, and I think for the last decade, maybe it's been declining, but now we are on a mission to increase it. Our president and your prime minister signed MOU recently, and we have agreed that in 2014 we will have Ostfest with Indonesia. So it means bringing Australian contemporary arts here as well as Indonesian contemporary arts to Australia. So hopefully we can work, we are already starting work this year on that, to be able to bring more contemporary arts and music and film to Australia.
Well, in that connection, I want to talk pop music with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was delighted and intrigued to learn that you've recently declared that you would like to see the Indonesian music industry take over the world with iPop.
Yes, yes.
So is this a bit like South Korea with its Psy-led K-pop phenomenon?
Yes.
You want Indonesia to be a hub for this. Why is that?
Well, because I think, first of all, we have a large domestic market or domestic audience, 240 million people. Half of them are below 29 years old, you know, so you've got your own huge domestic audience to grow your domestic music. And we have such a variety of music tradition that I feel that somewhere there's going to be something that will not just be a hit for Indonesia, but also a hit for the world.
What would it do if Indonesia did get a Psy, for example?
Well, I think it would have a huge impact on people would want to know about Indonesia. I believe that music and arts is like a great window to any one country. Once you know, I think Psy did a lot in terms of, okay, I want to know more about Korea, you know, not just because of Psy, but then you start wanting to know about the country. It will raise the image of the country. I believe very strongly that creative economy, creative industries, besides having the economic impact, has a huge impact on the way a country is perceived globally. We have an interesting experiment with Korea, S4. It's four S's. It's sexy, smart, and whatever.
They're the two most important.
Five Indonesians were trained for, I think, 6 months in Korea to become K-pop.
Mm.
And they've become very popular in Indonesia as well as in Korea.
So are you devoting funds to doing that in Indonesia? How is Indonesia?
Yeah, what we're trying to do is to create a lot of festivals where a lot of this young talent can perform. And I think performances will then lead to identification. Oh, this is a popular group, or this is something which is becoming a trend.
You're listening to Mari Pangestu, who's the Minister for Tourism and Creative Economy here in Indonesia, a landmark figure because she's also the first Chinese Indonesian cabinet minister ever. And it's that aspect I want to pick up briefly before I let you go, because you, as a person, it's a very interesting journey and experience that you've had. What sort of obstacles do you face given your gender and also your ethnic background in Indonesia?
I think it's the world has changed a lot in Indonesia since 1998. And this is something, again, perhaps the world also needs to understand better about Indonesia. I think we have gone a long way in terms of pluralism and acceptance of minorities. To the extent that we have passed a law, pre-98, it would be unthinkable to think about when pre-98... Can you imagine we ban any words in Chinese?
Mm.
Yeah, because of the history of the 65 coup. Post 98, Chinese characters started being allowed. We had an anti-discrimination law that was passed, and I think it was during Megawati's period. We declared Chinese New Year as a public holiday. So we've gone a long way. And then, you know, being in the cabinet, and now we also have a vice governor of Jakarta who is of ethnic minority.
But even that vice governor, I mean, in the case of Jokowi and his deputy, there were people pointing out his ethnicity and trying to make something out of that. And Jokowi kind of had to defend him. We've seen in recent times rising tensions mm-hmm. ethnically and religiously as well. So there's been this progress, but lately it seems that these sort of tensions are rearing their head. Is that something that concerns you?
It's concerning if it leads to, you know, some actions that are against the law, and that we have to step our foot down. And the law enforcement has to play a role.
Is that failing at the moment? Because a lot of critics are saying that the law enforcement is not stepping in.
To be fair, it's a mixed picture. We, as a government, of course, and all the law enforcement, we do take a strong view about that. But whether or not there are some misses here and there, I think that's something we will continue to correct and improve. But I wanted to take up your point about what happened with the so-called black campaigning that was happening pre-election of the Jokowi and Ahok. What happened was very gratifying, actually. The people who voted were not affected by this black campaign, and there was actually a counter campaign to say, well, no, this is not the case. You know, this, we don't vote, we vote based on the performance and what we think is a good candidate.
An important message.
Yeah.
You didn't comment on the gender aspect of the question. Is it a significant obstacle?
I don't think so. I think Indonesia, again, is, you know, after all, we've had a woman president. I think we are somewhat ahead, although we do need to continue to work harder to break the so-called glass ceiling and have better empowerment for women at all levels. We only have 18% of women who are parliamentary members. It could be better. The target is 30%. We only have 4 women in the cabinet right now out of 33. I think we could do better.
Well, yeah. there's no doubt you're something of a pioneer, and if that pioneering leads to unleashing a wave of IPOP, then I think your work is well and truly done.
Yes.
Ibu Mari, it's been fantastic to have the chance to speak to you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And I forgot to mention we have the Indonesian Performing Arts Mart coming up in November, which again will be collaboration with Australia.
Okay, we'll keep an eye for that.
All right, thank
you. Appreciate it. That's Mari Pangestu, who is the Minister for Tourism and Creative Economy, speaking to us on RN Drive. And that ends this hour of RN Drive and some of the best interviews that we brought to you from Jakarta. Next up, though, after the 7 o'clock news, stay with us. It's the best of the drawing room. There'll be music, there'll be dancing, and there will definitely be birds. That's right. Hang around for that. The other side of the news. It's news time now, 7 o'clock.